Last Friday, I attended a youth concert entitled The True Avenger. He saved me. And what I witnessed was a joyful celebration of both young and old enjoying music and songs presented by various churches in the hope that it would point young people to the true Avenger, who is Christ himself. Now, what was missing for me, personally, was instruction from the Word of God. See, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Right? Not singing, not dancing, not celebrating. Faith comes by hearing God's Word. So today we are presented with a celebration of a different kind. And it is a celebration of victory as perceived by the Philistines. A celebration of victory over Samson. A celebration in honor of their god, Dagon, in verse 23. A celebration that brought 3,000 men and women who gathered on the roof overlooking the courtyard. It must have been a huge temple or a house to accommodate 3,000 people on top of that roof. Huge, isn't it? And this temple had a presidential suite where the five kings or rulers of the Philistines came together. Remember, they ruled five Philistine cities. And they were all there with their families, with their children, and perhaps grandchildren. And they were served with the most exquisite Philistine cuisine that one can think of. The atmosphere around that auditorium may have been electric. It intensified in anticipation of Samson. Have a look at verse 24 with me. When the people saw him, they praised their God, saying, "Our God has delivered our enemy into our hands, the one who laid waste our land and multiplied our slain." They brought Samson out as a form of entertainment, and they humiliated him, praising their God. Notice what they said about their God in verse 24 again. It says there, "Our God has delivered our enemy into our hands, the one who laid waste our land and multiplied our slain." What are they saying? Their God was the true avenger. Their God gave their enemy into their hands. Their God dealt with the ravager of their country. Their God dealt with a murderer who killed many of their brothers. And today, they praise their God Dagon and celebrate in victory by saying that our God has given our enemy into our hands. Now, moved by their perceived victory of their gods, they ate and they drank freely, and they were overjoyed to see such a mighty and strong man become so blind, so weak, and so helpless in verse 25. Now, this is the same this is the same man, Samson, who killed a lion with his bare hands. This is the same Samson that killed 30 Philistine men and stripped them of their clothing and went again and killed another 1,000 Philistine men with the jawbone of a donkey. And as they took him, chained him, and as he was led blind into that auditorium. Sweat perhaps pouring down his face. Dirt through his grinding at the mill, coming straight. He may have been a poor and pathetic sight in verse 21. And notice, it says there in verse 21, then the Philistines seized him, gouged out his eyes, and took him down to Gaza. Okay? And so, when they look at him, imagine looking at a man with no eyeballs in his face. And looking at him, so weak, strengthless, without any power at all. And notice, the Bible tells us, they rejoice once again with the same words. Our God has delivered our enemy into our hands. Now, at one time, friends, yes, the same man was feared by this same crowd. They were intimidated by him. It was this big, bulky guy. And suddenly they look at him and they tease him. They mock him. And they throw all kinds of insults against him. And they literally use him and abuse him. So he is the source of entertainment. 3,000 of the guests gathered together to make fun of Samson. And now, let me tell you this. This is not a comedian making 3,000 people laugh. This is one helpless, strengthless, and sightless man humiliated before a crowd who wants to be entertained. Verse 27. Laughing, giggling, and making jokes at other people's expense is nothing new in the entertainment world. This is where the hedonistic god of pleasure and excitement is worshipped. And under such humiliating circumstances, what does Samson do? He prays. And who does he pray to? The only God that he knows, the God of Israel. And for the first time, brothers and sisters, Samson prays to God from a position of blindness, from a position of weakness, from a position of failure, and from a position of brokenness. And what does he pray for? Well, what is the content of his prayer? It's not a long prayer. He asks God for three things under a jeering, shameless crowd. Namely, forgiveness, strength, and death. Notice, he prayed to God to be remembered. Verse 28. Then Samson prayed to the Lord, O Sovereign Lord, remember me. Broken vessels of God often realize their need to repent. Samson was a broken man. You'll remember the New Testament that has just been read. Luke tells us that one thief, there were two thieves that were crucified with Jesus. And one thief realized his need to repent. And the thief on the cross made a confession. And he told his partner in crime, the other thief, across Jesus. We deserve to die. But this man in the center has done nothing wrong. Do you remember what the thief told Jesus? He turned to Jesus and he said, "Remember me." What did the thief witness from the cross? Remember? He had an aerial view and he was looking down, suspended on a hill called Golgotha. He saw Jesus being made fun of on the cross by religious Jews. He saw the soldiers gambling around Jesus' garment at the foot of the cross. He saw his own criminal companion mock Jesus. He saw the crowds being entertained by the mockery, the scourging, and the perceived victory they had over Jesus. Here was this hardened criminal, and he's witnessing all this from the top, having this aerial view. And he saw John the apostle and Mary Magdalene, the mother of Jesus, weeping at the foot of the cross. On one side there is laughing and joking and celebration and gambling. On the other side is a mother with a broken heart and a disciple who is there to comfort this mother with a broken heart. He witnesses this and his heart melts. He realizes that he is a sinner that needs the Savior's forgiveness. And he arrives at the conclusion that Jesus is the Savior of the world. Have a look at Luke 23. You don't have to turn to it. You perhaps can look at it on the screen. And verses 39 to 41 tells us that I'll just read this very, very quickly for you. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said. "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Remember me. Did Jesus acknowledge such a prayer and a cry for mercy? Of course Jesus did. What else did the thief acknowledge in his prayer? Well, he acknowledged that Jesus is king of a greater kingdom, because he said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." So he realizes that there is a greater kingdom. And what did Jesus promise the repentant thief? Well, today, not tomorrow, not next year, but today, you will be with me in paradise. When you close your eyes, when you take your last breath on the cross, when you die, you are going to be with me in heaven. Now listen to Samson's prayer in Judges 16 and verse 18. With a repentant heart, he says, "Lord, remember me." Remember the proud and arrogant man? Remember the sexually immoral man? Remember the angry, impulsive fly of the anvil man? Remember the stubborn and proud man? "Here I am at your mercy seeking forgiveness." And Samson confesses the sinful thoughts and the condition of his heart during the peak of his life. What else did Samson pray for? Well, he prayed for strength. Samson was a strengthless man, powerless man. He realized that his strength is in God. He realized his hope is in God. He realized his life is in God's hand. And his dependence is now on God and not on himself. And he prayed for God to give him back the strength he once knew in the Lord. Have a look at verse 28b. It says there, "Then Samson prayed to the Lord, 'Sovereign Lord, remember me. Please, God, strengthen me just once more, one more time, and let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes.'" Now, here's a slight twist to this prayer. You must always listen to somebody when they pray. Don't get so caught up in your own world when somebody is praying that you don't listen to the prayer. That's why when we're praying together, one prays, the other listens. Listen carefully to the content of what they pray. Because sometimes they may not be praying a prayer that is in accordance with God's will. There's a twist in this prayer. Why did he want God to empower him with the strength he once knew? What did he want to do with such power this time? Well, have a look at verse 28c. He tells us that he wanted personal revenge more than he wanted Israel rescued. He wanted justice. Give me back my strength so that I could take revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes. Samson's one final act was to commit suicide. He prayed to die. And this act of suicide will not only end his life, but it will end 3,000 other lives, plus the rulers and perhaps their families who were with them. It was a selfish prayer. Have a look at verse 30 with me. Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." Then he pushed with all his might, and down came the temple on the rulers and all the people in it. Thus he killed many more when he died than while he lived. Now friends, there's only one reason why God permitted this act and answered such a prayer. Because God was concerned about his name. You see, it is God's name and God's honor that is at stake here. And therefore, God will always do what glorifies his name. And throughout the scripture, we see God does things for his own good pleasure to glorify his name. And Jesus echoes and re-echoes this even in his high priestly prayer in John 17 when he prays to the Father. The contest here, dear friends, he's not so much between Samson and the Philistines, although it may seem so. But the contest here is between Yahweh, the living God, and Dagon, the false god. So, it is between Samson's God and the Philistine God. Who is stronger? And who it is that Israel ought to serve? Well, God was doing what he initially told Manoah, his wife. Remember the story in the beginning? Have a look at Judges 13 and verse 5. It says there in 13:5, "Samson will begin the deliverance of Israel from the hands of the Philistines." See the last part there? God set apart Samson from birth because he will begin the deliverance of Israel from the hands of the Philistines. That's what God said. And God kept to his word. And this is exactly what God is doing with Samson's request. It is the beginning of a greater deliverance. And interestingly, there is a wonderful picture that we see in all of this many, many years later. The death of God's judge to deliver and rescue his people points us to the death of God's son. Both Samson and Jesus were betrayed by someone close to them. Both Samson and Jesus were handed over to Gentile oppressors. Both Samson and Jesus were tortured and chained. Both Samson and Jesus were asked to perform. Both of them died with arms outstretched. Both appeared completely struck down by their enemies, Dagon and Satan. Yet in their death, crushed their enemy and broke their power over God's people. And there are two crucial differences that is worth taking care of or taking note of. Samson, number one, was in Dagon's temple as a result of his own disobedience. Jesus was on the cross as a result of his perfect obedience and our repeated disobedience. You got that? I'll repeat it. The crucial difference is, number one, Samson was in Dagon's house or temple as a result of his own disobedience. Jesus, on the other hand, was on the cross as a result of his perfect obedience to the Father and our repeated disobedience to God. Number two, Samson's death began the deliverance. Jesus' death achieved deliverance once and for all. Amen? Turn to 1 Peter 3:18 as we close. 1 Peter 3:18. And you'll see that on the screen for those of you who don't want to flip to the pages. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. Christ suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous. If you're a person like Samson who repeatedly sinned against God, then there is hope for you when you genuinely turn from your sin and confess it. And friends, I'm going to ask you to pray to God to give you that strength to overcome the temptation that so often crosses your path and my path. Pray to God to stand firm on the true avenger, the true judge, the true deliverer, because he is the only one that can save us. He is the only one that can rescue us. And if you are like the Philistines who don't know the true and living God, then there is also hope for you too. And God is asking you to turn to Jesus, who is the only person, the only real avenger of sin, who rescues us from false beliefs. Jesus is stronger. Jesus is greater. Jesus is higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. If God is for us, who can be against us? Amen? And let's turn to the Lord in prayer as we come before him and think seriously of our lives. And if you're not on the side of God, I'm pleading with you this morning to repent and turn to him, and he will save you. Oh, Lord, how our hearts yield and is drawn towards the Son of God. Our Father, will you turn our hearts from the God of hedonism? Will you turn our hearts from the God of pleasure and materialism? Oh God, would you turn our hearts from the God of ego-centric beliefs? The gods that steal our time, the gods that steal our people, oh God, will you turn our hearts from these gods and help us to be faithfully trusting you. Keep our eyes fixed on you, our Savior, in a demanding world. Will you govern and redirect our hearts? Save, deliver, and rescue those who are unsure of where they stand. Give them the assurance that Jesus is the only way to life and godliness. And it is in His name I pray. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.